And our Bible reading now is from that chapter, reading verses 3 to 13. Let's hear God's word. First of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, "Where is this coming he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation." But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed, and the earth was formed out of water and by water. And by these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be burnt up. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. May God bless this reading. On Sunday mornings, we are looking at the Bible's teaching on the end of the world. For the consideration of the world and its future is not a minority interest, but is a matter of major concern for many. This week's edition of Newsweek, the magazine on current affairs, which sells throughout the world, featured on the front the title of its major article, "Prophecy: What the Bible Says About the End of the World." Let me read the opening paragraph. The Christian Bible begins with the creation of the world before time itself began. The Bible closes with a harrowing vision of the world's end, when time will be no more. For most of Western history, when the world began has been a matter of curiosity. But predicting when the world will end has been an all-consuming passion. And that's true. The new millennium, only 7 weeks away, has brought a whole sweep of new books about the last days onto the bookshop shelves. And what a lot of hype there is about the millennium, and most of it, of course, has to do with money. The Edinburgh Balmoral Hotel was charging £8,500 per couple for a 3-day millennium package, but there were very few takers, so they've slashed the prices down to £6,000. Big deal. But that must sound very down market to the Sultan of Brunei, who has offered £67,000 a night for the La Cupola suite at Rome's Hotel Excelsior. And if you're wanting real thrills, then the Scottish organisation Millennium 2000 is planning a trip which takes in Fiji and the Cook Islands so that clients can greet the new millennium twice. And not to be outdone, another company is offering east to west flights on the supersonic Concorde, enabling passengers to get 3 millennia for the price of 1. Now that appeals to us Scots, doesn't it? Why the hype? Money. Why the hype? What's it all about? What's the significance of Y2K, the year 2000? Why the millennium? Now, setting aside the dating problems and the fact that the Royal Greenwich Observatory and the United States Naval Observatory and Encyclopedia Britannica and the World Almanac all agree that because of a hitch in the calendar of the year 526, the third millennium does not officially begin until the 1st of January 2001. Leaving that aside, and the possibility that all the hoo-ha is happening 12 months too soon, be that as it may, what's the importance of the millennium? Well, the clue to its significance is found in the letters A.D. For it's the year 2000 A.D. A.D., Anno Domini, the year of our Lord. Apparently many people in this country, and possibly some people in this church building today, don't know that the millennium is to do with the years of our Lord. That's to say, the 2000th anniversary of Christ's birth. For Jesus is the man behind the millennium. And according to the Bible, Jesus is the one who is linked with the end of the world. The Bible is clear that the end of the world is bound up with the coming again and the return of Jesus Christ in power and in glory, that of which we read in 2 Peter chapter 3. Let me underline two truths from verses 10 to 13 about the end of the world. Firstly, at the end, the old earth and heavens will be destroyed. Verse 10, the day of the Lord will come like a thief, the heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be burned up. Verse 12, that day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. Now, the descriptive words used here, taken together, depict something unthinkably awesome. The roar. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The word that's used there was used of a raging forest fire, absolutely and completely out of control. It's the word that would be used of a towering inferno. Now, some of you have seen the film of the same name, and you can remember something of the horror and terror and clamor as that skyscraper building went up in flames. Then there's the word destruction, that's to say the total annihilation of everything, with nothing left at all. Buildings, cities, countryside, planet, cosmos, beyond our imagination. The Prime Minister's wife, Mrs. Blair, complained a day past yesterday that football was becoming a religion. It's hard to contemplate a world with no football. But on that day, it will not seem very important. The third word, fire. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire. The idea is of burning and purging from the universe everything that causes disorder, disaster, disease, and demonization of life. When Jesus comes again as judge, there will be the entire removal of all that causes sin and evil and wrongdoing. It all sounds OTT, doesn't it? But let me remind you that this is Orthodox Christian teaching preached by mainstream Christian churches over 2,000 years. It's contained in the Christian creeds. From thence, says the Apostles' Creed, he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. Now, of course, there are way out cults and sects today who change the script and who twist the teaching and who distort the details way beyond the Bible's doctrines. There is millennium madness around, especially in the city of Jerusalem. At least 100 foreigners are camped on the Mount of Olives just now, and there'll be increasing number. The place, popularly believed to be the site of the Second Coming. Included in that group is a small sect called Concerned Christians, the leader of which has predicted that in the next month he will die in the streets of Jerusalem and then be resurrected as the new Messiah. The Israeli police have a millennium task force to counteract all kinds of doomsday fanatics who are pouring into the city in the next weeks. But in all this millennium madness, don't lose the plot. Don't lose the Bible's plot. Don't lose the clear teaching of the Bible, which is, this world is doomed. One might have thought that after two world wars this century, more wars and rumors of wars in the last 80 years than in the entire history of the human race, that people would begin to take the Bible's teaching seriously, but not at all. Yes, there are some scientists who make teot-wacky predictions. Have you heard of this term? Teot-wacky. The end of the world as we know it. Teot-wacky. Some astronomers, for example, predict an alignment of planets in May 2000, which they believe could disrupt the tilt of the Earth's axis and dislodge one or both of the polar caps, leading to massive earthquakes and large-scale disease. Well, the Bible does not say that the world as we know it will end like that. The Bible teaches us that the world is doomed because the inhabitants of the world have rebelled against the world's creator and ruler. And the Bible says that things will go from bad to worse until the ruler, Jesus Christ, comes back to wind things up and to set up Judgment Day. And then we'll all have to give an account of our lives and what we've done with the gift of the gospel. And those who have not received his gift will be expelled from his presence and experience the everlasting absence of God. Think of this. Imagine no sign of God, no semblance of God, no awareness of God, no restraint from God, no standards set by God. No indication that God is around, no church spires, no open Bible, no forms of prayer, no hymns or songs, no gatherings and meetings, no help, no hope, the everlasting absence of God. That's what the Bible says that hell is. Now, some would say that to preach this is a form of emotional blackmail to frighten people into a response. A few years ago, sharks were breaking through the barriers and coming close to the shore by the beaches near Sydney. And the authorities put up warning notices right along the beaches beside Sydney, calling people to beware of the sharks. And there was a huge picture of a gruesome shark with vicious teeth. And one mother complained about this notice, saying that her children were frightened by this picture. And she asked if they could make the picture of the shark a little less scary. She'd missed the point, hadn't she, about a warning. A warning is meant to be frightening, so that preventative action can be taken. Let me read you the last paragraph in this article in Newsweek magazine. No serious believer can discount the hard truth that sinners have reason to fear a God who, having chosen to create the world, can also choose to destroy it. At the end, the old earth and heavens will be destroyed. Secondly, at the end, a new earth and heaven will replace it. Verse 13, but in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth the home of righteousness. I understand there's renovations going on in the electric scheme in Moodysburn just now. There's scaffolding everywhere. And when the scaffolding is removed and the renovation is over, then the scheme in individual houses will know a pleasant facelift. But God is scheduling the renovation of all renovations of his universe. And at the end of the day, he will give a massive facelift to this universe. If you think that the sunsets in the northwest highlands of Scotland are magnificent and beautiful, then you're right. But what will they be in comparison to the new earth under new heavens when God renovates his universe for his people? And God has promised it will be so, and he never breaks his word. So what will be this new universe, and what will this renovated universe look like? Well, we are told here that it's a home. East, west, home's best. But it isn't actually for 9,000 children in our country who run away from home every year, and apparently most of them do so because they're frightened at home. It's so different with this home. There will be serenity, security, stability, and a social life. Don't think that this existence in the world to come, the earth under new heavens, will be some kind of spiritual existence floating in the air on clouds, strumming harps and eating grapes. In this home, this new home, there'll be real people with real bodies really relating to each other. All the pictures of heaven are social pictures. City, kingdom, temple, wedding feast. It's home. Whose home? God's home. Where we'll be at home, not alone, but at home with God and Jesus. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Only there won't be time, but there will be constant, endless, everlasting worship of him, friendship with him, and service for him. It's the home of righteousness. That's to say, there'll be nothing wrong there at all. No room for any wrong. Everything will be right. Everything will be right in our relationship with others. We have differences here, but up there all will be right. Everything will be right between us and God. There'll be no sin, no semblance of sin or self-centeredness or self-pity or wrongdoing or evil. God has provided a fit environment for his people to live there forever and ever with him in righteousness. C.S. Lewis puts it brilliantly in the last of his Narnia books. And the final chapter is called Farewell to Shadowlands. Those hills, said Lucy, the nice woody ones and the blue ones behind, aren't they very like the southern border of Narnia? Like, cried Edmund, after a moment's silence. Why, they're exactly like. Look, there's Mount Piri with its forked head, and there's the pass into Archenland and everything. And yet they're not like, said Lucy. They're different. They have more colours on them, and they look further away than I remembered, and they're more. Oh, I don't know. More like the real thing, said the Lord Diggory softly. It's a home of righteousness, a new earth under new heavens, and all this is promised by God at the end of the world for those who have trusted, loved, and followed Jesus. So let me ask you, have you received Jesus as your Savior and Lord? It's the only way to get to this new home of righteousness, this new earth under new heavens. According to the Bible, God has a plan for this world. Life is going somewhere. And your life can go somewhere if you know Jesus. Otherwise, you may very likely drift and live for the moment and say, let's eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. But that's no way to live and no way to die. Are you ready for Jesus' return and for this home of righteousness? Coming up to the year 1000, the King of England was a man called Ethelred. And he was known as Ethelred the Unready. May that title never be given behind our name in connection with Jesus' return. C.S. Lewis said that in the end of the day there are only two kinds of people in the universe. Those who say to God, "Thy will be done," and those to whom God will say, "Well, thy will be done. If you reject me, I confirm that rejection." But today there is the opportunity, as we draw near to this massive milepost in history, to hear the Bible's teaching concerning the end of the world and the return of Jesus, and that home of righteousness which is laid up and prepared and reserved for individuals who have turned and taken and trusted Jesus as their Savior, and who say, "Thy will be done, because thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever." Amen.